Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3-year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Prices and participation may vary.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour Coach Podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun.
All right. Joining me here on the Tour Coach on Memorial Day Monday, recording this. My good friends, often frequent contributors here as well. Wayne Flint, one of the great teachers in the game, good buddy of mine up the road in Birmingham, although he's at his palatial beach estate in Navarre Beach right now. He's probably got security guards out there, like on top, making sure nobody's interrupting this podcast. And Matthew Rudy, who, how many, what did we say? 5 billion. He's written 5 billion instruction articles over the last 25 years. Formerly Golf Digest instruction editor. Now he's got a multitude of things he's involved in, and I appreciate him sitting in. Guys, thanks for sitting down and sitting in with me today. How are we all doing?
Anytime. It's all, the sun's finally out here in Connecticut, so it's a good night.
I heard it's been raining up there a bunch.
Not only raining, we've had nights in the low 40s to turn the heat back on.
Sounds wonderful. It makes me want to move north. Yeah. Well, okay, so the topic today that we had come in here was why most golf lessons fail and how to fix it. I think not only is this great for recreational golfers, and Matt, I told you, like, we've kind of over the last month, I've been going back to what we did in the early days of the radio show, really gearing it towards like recreational golfers and regular golfers. And we've had a lot of folks chime in and listen. But at the same time, I think this topic's great for that group of young teachers and up and coming teachers that listen to this podcast as well. So kind of, I kind of want to start with you, Matt, and you, I'm going to let you kind of lead our podcast a little bit, because you've written, as we said, 5 billion articles, but I'm sure over those years and in dealing with all the teachers you have, you've seen some of this. You have to have seen some of, you know, why do some golf lessons fail, or why do some teachers or instruction lessons given to people not help them and not make the student better?
Well, I mean, I'll just start by saying, I mean, I remember when I started at Golf Digest in 1999, there was a spectrum of article styles that we would produce that ranged from one page tips all the way to 6 or 8 page cover stories. And I would equate the longer cover stories more to like a golf lesson, you know, where there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, you know, there was a comprehensiveness to what was being taught, where the one pagers were like tips. So, I mean, I'll ask you guys, you've both been teaching lessons from the analog age where people weren't consuming golf instruction in videos or on Instagram, you know, tip forms of golf instruction. is it harder to reach people in a longer time frame, even if it's an hour long lesson or say a series of three lessons or five lessons? Are you finding it more difficult to keep people engaged or to deal with the change in attention span that the way people consume things is kind of, I think it's changed the way people consume things. So I'd imagine that's probably a part of why some lessons.
Yeah. Can. Wayne, go ahead. You start with that. You've been doing it longer than me for sure.
Well, certainly with the internet and the YouTube and all the videos that are out there now, and a million ways for people to go and get information, people come to us, or people come to me, and they've all watched, they've all watched their share of instructional things on the internet, and they come with some preconceived ideas of what they think is wrong with their game, and so on and so forth. I still kind of do a little bit of what I did my first year or two in. I mean, you and I've talked a lot about this, Tony. I taught my first year on my own, so to speak, when I kind of slowed down doing golf schools and went into private practice, if you will, just teaching my own golf lessons in Birmingham, Alabama. And, I felt like I was doing a really good job. I had a lot of clients and lo and behold, I worked through the whole year. And then come, football season and hunting season in Alabama, things change a little bit. And, I just thought the summer was going to never end. And boy, did it ever when football and hunting rolled around. And, I went through that first winter and things were kind of lean. And I said to myself, I've tried to do this my whole career. What am I doing? What am I not doing right? To keep these people active and working on their games during the off season. So, I kind of restructured my whole thing. And that's when I came up with, I went and did a bunch of research back with all the notes I'd written over all the years of doing Golf Digest schools way back in the day. And I tried to put a little bit of, I kind of looked at myself and I realized I didn't have a plan. And, I started every lesson, just try this, try that, kind of like everybody does. And it didn't work. And so I sat down and looked real hard at myself over that first off season. And that's when I kind of came up with my first lesson, which, you've seen it a million times. You put it in.
Matt has too, in my book.
Yeah.
The book we did. Matt, it's one of the greatest things ever written.
You guys put it in the book. And, I did that for a number of years and still do that. I don't do it on paper anymore. I do it verbally, but I still do write notes, as we all do. That was a big breakthrough for me, because that let the people know that came to me that I had a plan. And there was something that I was trying to get done, and I was looking at their personal game. I was looking at it with a plan in mind, and it helped me as a young teacher organize my thoughts a little bit and start to see what cause and effect was doing, and not just seeing every little thing that happens in a golf swing and trying to fix that. I tried to look at it more big picture. And mm-hmm. And that really helped me grow into, the teacher that I am today, whatever that is. It helped me be more organized. And, that helped me grow and continue to be around great teachers, which I've always tried to do, gathering more and more information and organizing it in my mind and how I can present it. And, that made all the difference for me.
I think, Matt, one of the reasons people don't necessarily get anything out of a lesson, if you will, or they fail or they don't get what they're looking for, it's because of what Wayne was saying there, and that they don't necessarily understand. I think people get caught trying to chase the effects rather than really being sat down and explain what the cause is, right? And and they get caught up in, if you look at like video and you look at TrackMan or you look at quads and you look at force plates, anybody could see 50 different things that may not be exactly what you want or desired. And they start chasing some of those things rather than coming in. And, you know, when I start with a student, I know Wayne does as well. And you ask, like, you know, what's the shot that's keeping them from becoming a lot better? Or what is it they're looking for? And then our job is to try to find what is it in their golf swing that's keeping them from getting better and then attacking that. I think if you explain whatever it is, X, Y, or Z to the person, and you explain how this is causing what their big miss is or keeping them from getting better, and then you explain, like Wayne talked about, the plan or the roadmap to get better, then I think they're more willing to hang in there and do it. But I think if they don't understand what the cause is, or if they just keep chasing effects or symptoms, I think they'll just give up hope and they'll feel like, well, that might have worked for 5 swings on the range, but when I left, it didn't help.
You know, Tony, they can chase those things on their own. They don't really need us to chase that, especially in this day and age. You know, anybody can see when a person's right elbow or trail elbow's way up in the air, maybe a little too high. Everybody can see that. But, you know, people that can explain how you're going to try to fix whatever the cause of the problem is, and then explain to the student what's going to happen when that's fixed, and then they can start to see the changes in the ball flight that you've described, and then they can say, well, this guy may know what he's talking about because he told me what was coming, and now it's coming, you know? So I think they're way more apt to hang in there with you and trust you in the delivery of information when they can start to see some changes taking place.
Well, I think too, the there's no shortage of information. I mean, everyone has information, everyone has data. I think what can get lost sometimes is that, I mean, there's two components to this. You need to know, you know, there's physics you have to know, and there's, you know, there's swing mechanics stuff that a coach has to know, but there also is a bedside manner to it.
Yeah.
That is involved in, you know, where you're sharing the story about what goes first, you know, what happens first and what happens second and what happens third. And it can become more of a challenge when there's so much information on the table about what to do first, you know, what to pick first, how to deliver it so the person is not overwhelmed. I mean, I don't want this to sound like it's just a student issue, because I think part of it is a teacher communication issue too. I think there used to be a time when you could get away with being friendly and, you know, given one lesson, but I think there's more complicated things on the table to deliver, and you've got to be good about how you pick what to deliver first. And there's an art, there's a science to that, and there's an art to it too. And the best teachers I've been around understand not just the physics of it and the mechanics of it, but how to communicate it in a way that's not like getting a fire hose in the face. They're just information.
But I think that's the, you know, I think that people today, I look back at when I started, you know, way back in the very beginning, working for Wayne and for Hank, and, you know, the internet was kind of, you were just starting to have people where they could look at stuff. And I remember the very first parts of that, but for the most part, people just kind of listened to you give a lesson and they would kind of go do it. I don't know that they had access to all the information. You didn't for sure get near as many people that came in that knew about what their numbers should be, that knew about forces or pressure and all of that stuff. You know, so now I think, you know, one, I think the one key thing is you, even if, as they often are, they're misguided, the students may be barking up the wrong tree, you have to at least be able to answer it and explain why they're not going down the right path. And I think that's kind of one of the big deals. And I think that's, but I think that, you know, to answer the question of why do some people not get anything out of lessons, or why are some lessons not successful, it's because they don't attack, either they don't attack the right things, or they don't get the student to buy into it enough to stick with it through the bad times or the times when it doesn't right. work.
I mean, have you guys found that the, I mean, I think if you, if someone came in from outer space and the only thing they saw was how
I've people, had a couple you know, that I think, you know, have.
But if the only thing an alien saw was how people interact with each other on X or on Twitter or on, you know, on social media, the level of discourse and the combativeness in the discourse mm-hmm. and the way people communicate, I think it's much more combative and defensive and aggressive than it was 20 years ago.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
Now, yes. I'm not saying that you have a bunch of combative lessons, because you guys, I'm sure by this time, have done a pretty good job weeding out some of the less savory characters that you teach. But I would wager that that's part of it too. There's a more, not a battle, but there's probably a more contentiousness or resistance in the conversation between a teacher and a student than there probably was 20 years ago, just because we're being trained to communicate in a little bit different way than before.
Don't you think, and Wayne, you can answer this well, that's where the personal side of it comes in, the ability to disarm the person, if you will, right? And to either make a joke or to listen to them tell you all the stuff that they know that they think's right that may not even be close, and not turn it into a pissing contest back and forth. Right. And yet we all know teachers, and some of them are very, very successful, that just are, I mean, they're just not the type that's going to deal with that. And they blast the person. I mean, they're as equally as combative as the person that comes to you, right? And maybe that, you know, the curious thing would be if more young teachers are developing that way because of the discourse on X and Instagram versus some of us have been doing it before it came about, you know.
But I'm also interested to hear what your experience is with juniors and with junior parents. Because, you know, I have three daughters and all of my daughters play various sports. And I'm astonished by the behavior of some juniors, not so much in golf, but, you know, juniors and junior parents, where a coach will say something and the kid will just straight up say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Or the coach says something and the parent launches into a, you know, gets right up in the coach's face and says, well, you know, my kid's not going to do X, Y, Z. To me, that alone can probably explain why some lessons, particularly for junior players or elite junior players, might be difficult to get through, just because of the interference that you're dealing with, either from a student, a kid, you know, a junior that's been taught that pushing back on the coach is okay, or a parent that comes in and says, well, everyone, you know, that we're not going to change his grip, or we're not going to change her grip, or, you know, no, we don't, you know, you must deal with a lot more of that than you used to, I would imagine.
Why no?
Well, you know, I've dealt with that over the years. And, you know, as you get to be more of an expert, supposedly, we're supposed to be experts in our craft. As you get to be more of an expert, maybe a little more seasoned, you should know more about the game than the student or their parents, even mm-hmm. though they think they may be rich and they may think they know a lot about the game. But we should have an arsenal full of information that we understand totally that maybe they don't, that, you know, you should be able to paint them into a little bit of a corner and then present your stuff maybe in a little bit different manner to maybe sway them to your side of what you think's important.
Right.
And, you know, if they just say, hey, I don't mind if my kid's face is 85 degrees shut at the top or 55 degrees open at the top. I'm not going to change his grip because it's comfortable to him. Well, okay, then here's what we're going to deal with.
Just tell him
like it is. And, you know, hey, if you want a wide open club face and you never want to have lag in your life and the only divot you're ever going to make is going to be behind the ball instead of in front of the ball, that, okay, well, we better learn to miss the ground real good then.
How do you diffuse that, Tony, when you have an aggressive kid or, you know, a pushback kid or a pushback?
Well, I think, what do you do? The hardest situation for that to me is in the first lesson because you don't know them at all or very little, right? But I have, you know, I have some juniors that are challenging. And what I've, you know, to take a little bit of the approach, kind of what Wayne said is like, you know, I've found that going along with it and letting them run the lesson is not a recipe for success.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to take control of the lesson, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had times recently where with a junior, a good junior, he's a good player going to a big college. Like, I just walked out of the bet. I mean, I'm not going to stand here and give you info that I believe is going to help and have you not listen and just keep rattling on and getting pissed and yelling, right? Mm-hmm. And that in the end, it was very tense for a bit, but then that diffused the situation.
Right.
And when I came back in the next lesson, they were. Another thing I've tried to do as well, we're talking about junior golfers in particular, is to involve and, you know, we have Dr. Carton that spends a bunch of time with us and around our juniors. Because I think a lot of this, if you will, juniors and people having that attitude comes from other stuff going on in their life, whether it's parents, you mentioned before the question, parents being crazy, high pressure, or they're under all this pressure because they see every single person on their phone looks like they're playing better golf than them. And they've probably got more people interested in them, whether it's true or not. So, you know, I've tried to involve other resources to put around these students, and it's not just juniors. I mean, I've used Doc with 50-year-old people trying to figure out how to
mm-hmm.
break 100, right? That get pissy and don't understand, you know, what it takes to get better at times. So, you know, I think how we diffuse the situation is important. And then I also think the resources we put around us to help us deal with it. Like Wayne mentioned, you know, always trying to learn and get better. And Matt, you and I've texted a bunch about a variety of things. I think a lot of the help that we, to help some of these people isn't necessarily golf people that are going to help us. It's life
people.
Right. I'll never forget it. Frederica, we had this kid who was real difficult. We were you've been to our retreats, put him in a small group. We put this kid with a 60-year-old guy who was crazy successful at business. And they were helping each other in a bunker. And finally, the business guy just said, like, you know, you're a nice kid, but if you keep talking and acting like that, nobody's ever going to want you to ever be around him or do anything for you. And this kid looked at him, was like, I mean, obviously he knew he was successful and all that. And I mean, so sometimes the help for these people is not from me or Wayne or the teacher, but it's from people outside of being a golf instructor.
Just real life stuff. Yeah.
It feels like too, that getting, you know, when you look at why a lesson fails, I think some of the best lessons that I watched, and Tony, I've watched you give a lot of lessons. I've watched Randy Smith give a lot of lessons. You know, I've watched a lot of, you know, back in the day, Golf Digest, we shot our instruction on film, you know, with a film camera, and you needed perfect sunlight to shoot. So there, you know, you would have to schedule 2 or 3 or 4 days in a place to make sure that you could have a window when the sun was shining. So as a younger person, as a 25-year-old or, you know, a 27-year-old, I got to just sit and watch, you know, lesson after lesson after lesson. And I think what good teachers have always been good at is really communicating what the expectations are. And helping people understand what they're going to see next. And Wayne, you were alluding to that earlier, where, you know, it's not a surprise if you struggle in a certain way. I think some lessons fail because a person takes a lesson and there's something that's an improvement, and then they go away and they hit balls and they see something on Instagram or, you know, there's another stimulus that comes in, and because they're still feeling kind of bad because the thing that they're fixing hasn't been fixed yet, they don't understand that they're still in the early part of the process, not the completed part of the process. And if you don't ever take all the steps, you're never going to get to the end of the race. So I would imagine you're probably seeing a lot of people, like, it's almost like a doctor. If you come in, if someone broke their arm and you come in and you put the cast on, when you see them again, it's like they broke the cast off and are banging the broken arm on the table again.
Well, Wayne, I know you get these people, and Matt, you've seen them being around, like the people that you've given a couple lessons to, and I'll just pick something. Say you're working on their takeaway going back, right? And they've worked on it for a lesson and or half a lesson. They go, okay, I got that. Now what are we going to do? Right? I mean, we get that all the time. You know, right. It's like then you know, say it was the lesson prior, you know, and it's their follow-up and, you know, well, no, I mean, you are doing better, but it's not all the way there. And helping them understand, you know, one of the things I try to do is I try to share with them stories of the guys or girls that I teach that are successful, that are playing for a living, and just randomly drop in there that, you know, Rick's been working on the same thing for 3.5 years, two things for 3.5 years. And then they all really were like, here's a guy that's crazy talented, and this is all he does every day. He doesn't go to an office. He goes to a gym. He goes to a golf course. And it's taken him 3.5 years to get way better at it. So I think that helping them, going back to kind of Wayne's first point, but like showing them the plan, but also educating them in how long it takes for people that do it every day, all day. So if you're Joe Schmo, that's an accountant that sits at a desk 5 days a week, hits balls one day, plays on Saturday, you're probably not going to have it mastered in 3 days.
Well, and some people just aren't willing to, and that's mm-hmm. another reality that's, it's in golf, but it's in everything. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, if your ambition, I think, to get better at anything is to go take one golf lesson or one trumpet lesson or one Spanish lesson or one whatever lesson, flying lesson, you know, pick whatever it is.
Any, yeah.
If your ambition is to go get the complete download in 60 minutes and have it, you're probably going to be frustrated. And I think probably the damaging part about the way our culture works is that's sold to people in a lot of ways sometimes too. A tip, mm-hmm. a hack, you know, even the way AI is talked about now, the whole thing is designed. Oh, if you do this, it can, you know, you can, instead of having to sit down and write your grandmother a letter, you know, ChatGPT will do it for you. I think everything in the culture is designed to make things easier for you. Some things just, there's a process and it takes some effort to do.
Which goes back to the whole point that you see it all the time on social media, that like you see tour players, like Max almost said, different guy, like golf is hard. Yeah. It's a hard sport. So like ChatGPT is probably not going to solve your golf swing for you, right? Like, you know, may tell something, AI mm-hmm. may tell you the info, but it doesn't make you able to do it faster, you know?
Plus everything's changing. That must be a fascinating part of your job, because especially if you're dealing with middle-aged weekend warrior types, your level of flexibility, your soreness, your, you know, your mental state, the amount of time you spend, I mean, everything is a variable when somebody's coming in. These aren't, you know, perfectly tuned athletes. And I speaking for myself, this morning I played pickleball with my family and I didn't play that great because I didn't sleep that great. So then, I mean, you come in and you expect to do everything magically because the coach is giving you a lesson. I just think the variability of human performance is a part of it that people don't understand. You're not the same person you were yesterday or last week. And you have to understand those variables and so you can understand what parts of the lesson are helping you get better.
Yeah, and you mentioned the physical stuff. I would say that one of the biggest things that's changed for me over however many, the last 10 years is, and while it's crazy and been crazy important with tour players, it's even more important and had a faster impact on the recreational player is the ability to give them some sort, you know, of a screen of what they physically can do during a lesson. And there's ways to do that in an hour golf lesson that's pretty good. At least gives you a basic understanding, right?
So they can physically capture what you're asking them to do.
Right. Like, so if we're asking them to turn into their right hip and they've got no mobility in their right hip and no stability in their right leg, well, shit, I'm asking them to do something that they can't do.
Yeah, the lesson's going to fail. It's going to fail.
Correct, right? So, but if I can give them, if I can show them that's why they've, because that's another question we get. And, you know, all the years, I mean, remember sitting and watching Wayne teach as well. Like people go, well, I've been to so-and-so and they tried to get me to do the same thing, but I've never been able to do it. We get that a lot, right? But like maybe the reason you've never been able to do it is you physically aren't very good doing that. But if you tell them that and you can show them, for example, like I'll put somebody on one leg and make them get in their golf posture and try to turn onto that trail leg. Well, if their foot's wobbling all over and they can't even stand and balance, probably at 70 miles an hour, they're not going to be able to do it at all. So if you explain it to them and then you say, okay, but if you go do this drill 5 times, 10 times in your office every day while you're working, you'll start getting better at it. I think like going back to Wayne's point, they got a plan. They're more apt to buy into it. But I think if you just start with the same thing of, hey, I'm trying to get you, whatever it is, turn into this, whatever. And they're like, well, this guy's tried to get me to do that. I've tried to do this with 6 people, but I've never been able to get any better at it. They're probably not going to buy into you and they're probably not going to get much out of the lesson. But if you explain to them why that hasn't worked because they physically can't, then I think you got a shot to get them on board.
Yeah, I'm going to get hate mail from the golf machine people, but I can remember going with Tom Ness and watching.
This will be good.
Watching Ben Doyle teach lessons for a day. And he gave the exact same lesson to everybody. There was an 80-year-old woman, there was an aspiring college player. There was a 50-year-old businessman. It was the exact same lesson. And I understand where that comes from. But to your point, that's a recipe for frustration or lesson failure for someone because the 80-year-old woman can't do the same things that the aspiring college player, there's just a different level of functionality in my mind that modern lessons have to account for.
Yeah, I think, don't you, Wayne? I think that one of the biggest things is our understanding of what the body can and physically can't do. And now there's ways, heck, I mean, you've got 3D, basically, you can shoot out of a phone. I mean, there's force plates that now are even pretty reasonable that people have portable on tees. Mm-hmm. And we all have some form of fact. It's like, and you can screen and help somebody understand physically where they, what they lack. Like there's so much easier ways to get to the bottom of it quicker, way quicker than when I started under you, Wayne.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy, perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new energy multiplier sugar-free. Unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes. So you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new energy multiplier sugar-free hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't think there's any doubt about it. One of the things too that you that I try to do with people that are a little bit older or whatever, well, you know, when I find out that they're not quite as able to do, you know, turn into their trail leg or whatever the case may be, I try to set them up in a situation where they can turn into their trail leg very slowly and then kind of help them, you know, put your hands on them, especially if they're 70, 80 years old, you don't want them to fall down, put their hands on them so they can feel what that feels like and help them there. And then, you know, it's amazing. People want to get better. So they will, you know, some of these older folks will go home and they will practice things slowly and do it for a little bit of time. Cause what else do they have to do really? And they get a little bit better at it. And I don't think that, you know, the older folks that come to us for lessons, I don't think they're under any illusion that they're going to become Tiger Woods one day. I mean, they just want to play golf a little bit better and they want to have a little bit more fun. So, you know, you just give them some situations that they feel like they can accomplish, and then they can go out and practice and accomplish it. If they hit it just a little bit more solid, hey, they're happy. You know, they're having fun at that point. I think the thing that runs people away from it a lot of time is they're out there with, you know, 100 balls in a bucket and they're hitting it every which way, every different swing is different. And they don't have any idea what's going on. That's where the frustration comes in. If they at least know, hey, I've got to keep my right knee bent and I've got to stay balanced on my feet. I can't get my feet rolling around on the sides of my feet and getting outside my leg and all this stuff. If they at least understand what they're trying to do, they can slow themselves down to maybe accomplish the task and then hit it a little bit more solid. And they are happier at that point. They just want to feel like they understand what they're trying to do and why, I think. So, you know, our job is to help them learn to do whatever they can do at the speed they can do it. Because let's face it, none of us can do it as good as we did when we were 20, right? We're all physically a little bit different than we used to be.
And Matt, I think that guy that Wayne was just talking about with 100 golf balls in a bucket out there that's getting frustrated, they get equally as frustrated when they hit a good one and they can't tell the difference between the good one and the bad one. I think we always talk about the guy getting frustrated just hitting bad ones, but like students all the time, they're like, oh, that one was good, but I don't know what the hell I did different from the first one, right? And I think that's one of our jobs as teachers too, to be able to explain when, and sometimes they didn't do anything better. They just timed it up maybe and they got lucky. But
right. to me, it also feels like I would bet that the perception that many people have of their game is more negative than it really is, because there is so much information and you're assessing yourself so harshly. And when you look at social media and you see what appears to be everybody flushing it all the time, that just isn't the reality of how most people play. And I think if you had a more accurate idea of how you played and a more accurate idea of what the lesson was giving you, even if you went out and struggled a little bit, you would probably be more in tune with the idea that, yes, I'm getting a little bit better, even though I'm not where I want to be. The judgment can be very quick and very harsh. Oh, I hit a grounder off the tee. That must mean that lesson didn't work. Well, the reality is every 90 shooter or 95 shooter hits all kinds of kind of crazy, lousy shots. That's part of shooting 95. And so I think teachers probably don't get as much patience from the student because the feedback loop is always saying, look at everybody out there flushing it and bombing it 280. I mean, that just isn't the way most people play golf.
No. And I mean, I just think that, you know, the topic being like, you know, what can we do to help people get basically more out of a golf lesson? And, you know, kind of going back to where you talked about people being more combative, like, one real key of it is to be more communicative, to be like, to one, also tell your teacher what's going on. Tell your teacher the experiences you had. One thing that helps me is tell me the stuff that hasn't worked before, right? Instead of going down the road for 2 months and then this guy going, well, yeah, I tried that before. I never was any good at learning this way. Like, I've been doing that drill you told me, but I used to do it all the time. It never worked either. Yeah. Like, the more info helps us.
By the way, I had a knee replacement and I can't do that.
Right. You know? And so, I mean, we ask a lot of questions on the front end, you know, but like the students got to communicate as well.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Matt Waino, thanks for joining, Matt.
You bet.
Thanks for taking some time. I want to get you to come on more and help us lead these discussions because you're way better at leading us around than I am.
Yeah, but you're way better at fixing a slice, so it all evens out.
Yeah, it all evens out. Looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks down at the VIP camp. We'll have some fun and shoot some good content. Waino will be there. Waino, thanks again, as always. Enjoy travel. Set back. Guys, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.